Everyone's so busy keeping up. Forget about the Joneses. We all on our telephones with the texts and the tweets and the beats. What he said, she said, can't even follow the thread. Down the hole, we all go. Me, I like keeping up too, with my Corona and my attitude. That's La Vida Más Fina.
Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Twins infield might be even more interesting today than it was before they made some recent moves. Let's get into that here on Chin Music with Roy Smalley. Of course, you know Roy, former Twins great and current Twins broadcaster. I'm Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune. Lavelle Neal is our third partner on the show. He may be joining in if he can wrap some things up quickly enough. But Roy and I are going to talk about something near and dear to Roy's heart, the shortstop position, the infield position in general. Gio Urshela, I think you and I both really appreciated him as a fielder, as a teammate, as a pretty good hitter. The Twins end up trading him, obviously, to clear a spot for Miranda to play third base. Lavelle and I were talking at the Vikings game on Sunday. We're both hearing from different sources that the Twins are very interested still in pursuing Correa. They still think they have a chance at Bogarts if they don't get Correa. They're both Scott Boras clients, so this could take quite a while and be very expensive. And, of course, the Twins make a trade for Farmer, who can be a stopgap shortstop if nothing else works out. It looks like a really, really intriguing super utility player to add to their stock of super utility players if they do end up with a starting shortstop. So, Roy, just at this juncture, this very early juncture of the Twins offseason, what are you thinking?
Well, interesting, isn't it? The one thing that I will tell you for sure, and there's not a lot of things I think for sure, but the one thing that I will tell you for sure is that I am going to miss the heck out of watching Gio Urshela play third base.
Yep.
That was just a real, real treat last year. I just don't remember. It doesn't mean there hasn't been one. But I mean, I used to watch Brooks Robinson. I played next to Greg Nettles. I've seen a lot of Mike Schmidt. And there are great third basemen in history. And I'm not putting Gio in any of the classes there, except for the fact that I just didn't see any plays not made. And I saw some plays made that I didn't think ought to be made. So it was one of the better third base performances I defensively that I've seen in some time. And I'm going to miss that.
Yeah. I was very lucky to grow up in Baltimore as an Orioles fan during their glory days. And usually we sat in the bleachers in left field, but one season we did have season tickets. They were third base parallel with Brooks Robinson. And of course, I mean, Brooks, I don't know if he's the greatest fielding third baseman of all time, but I'd put him at least tied for first. And then you have had Mark Belanger in the same eyesight eyeline, and then Paul Blair behind them, Rich Dower or Andy Gritsch playing second base. I mean, it was stunning to see. And this confirmed to me that you don't need to pay a whole lot of attention to defensive metrics, because I thought Urshela was spectacular, and the metrics really didn't bear that out.
Yeah, I don't care about the metrics in this case. I would say the same thing about the defense that Carlos Correa played at shortstop last year. Hard for me to imagine a consistently better defensive left side of an infield. I mean, that was really fun. And maybe that will still happen. Miranda has to play every day. He probably needs to play one position and not play first base against left-handers when Arise needs a day off, or third base when they decide they're not going to play Urshela. They're going to DH somebody else other than Miranda. Miranda ended up, playing being the DH so much of the time, and that's not ideal. So it was probably a move that was inevitable. Gio's going to make some money And as an older player, they've got young guys at the corner now, and they're just going to go with it. That's, you know, and you probably needed to see this coming. You just hope that the pitching prospect they got in return develops into a frontline pitcher in the big leagues. But in the meantime, we're going to see the young kids, good hitters, playing first and third.
Yeah, and I thought Miranda was, what's the best way to put it? Probably a below average third baseman last year, but it looks like he's got enough arm. He certainly looks like the kind of guy who's going to work at it. I could see him developing to a good, solid third baseman. What do you think?
Yeah, I think he'll be solid enough. I mean, we're not going to see Urshela level. Maybe someday. I don't think he has that kind of body agility, athleticism that Urshela does, which is really not a knock, because not everybody, few people do. You know, I first saw Urshela when he was playing for Cleveland way back when, and he opened my eyes way back then. He was just he was a defensive whiz at third base, and Miranda doesn't have to be that. What Miranda needs to be is solid at third, and then just keep getting better as a hitter, because there's an awful lot of potential to be a big run producer. And if he's a big run producer, then he will develop certainly far enough as a defensive player at third.
No doubt about it. This is Chin Music. This is our baseball show at TalkNorth.com. The rest of the lineup, you should know by now. If you don't, check it out. Russo, LaPanta, Roy Smalley, Lavelle Neal, John Millay, Jeff Diamond, John Krasinski show on the Timberwolves. We have Dave Lee, we have Mike Grimm on the Gophers, and we always it's Cheryl Reeve, the great Cheryl Reeves on the network as well. Check it all out. We also have outdoor content and variety content, and we appreciate you listening. The best way to listen, subscribe to your favorite podcast app. It's free. It's easy. Thanks to our producer, Brandon Morton. Thank you for listening. And by the way, we are going to get back to a full-scale winter wear drive. Lori Ramsey runs it. We do it in conjunction with the Cheryl Reeve Show. It's going to be 7 p.m. December 15th at Head Flyer Brewing, one of the John Krasinski Show sponsors. Head Flyer Brewing in Northeast, a great craft brewery, lots of space. Cheryl and Lori end up putting on a great event that benefits a lot of people. Please check it out. Show up if you can. Donate other ways if you can't. And we do appreciate it. So Farmer's interesting. You know, that's a guy with he's got some talent. He's kind of a late bloomer. He's only been a starter the last couple of years. And I don't think you want to pencil him in for 150 games at shortstop. But he looks like the kind of guy who can aid your roster in a few different ways.
Yeah, I really like getting Farmer. I really do. I'd like Farmer a lot better if they signed Correa or they signed Bogarts or one of these, the kid coming out of LA. But the thing about guys that can play shortstop and hit at the same time, I mean, he's not your answer to Mark Belanger that you mentioned, for example. But Mark Belanger was not Farmer's equal at the plate either. You know, and you get a guy that can swing the bat. He's a veteran guy. He's older. And you get a guy that can play in the middle of the infield serviceably enough, better than serviceably. And he's going to get some hits and drive in some runs for you, hit the ball out of the ballpark once in a while. I mean, that's a very valuable valuable commodity. We've looked at the Twins having in the last few years some pretty nice flexibility in utility guys that can play around, not all of whom were real threats offensively. You could play them and get really nice defense, and if they didn't hit for a game or two, it wasn't a big deal. But you over the course of time, boy, you'd love it if you had a veteran guy that could play both in middle infield positions and win a game for you once in a while. And Farmer can do that. I'm looking forward to him being on the club as I say, that doesn't solve their shortstop position well enough to be a deep in the playoff contender. But it's a nice pickup all in all.
I want to thank our sponsor on the Chin Music Program, Corona, the official import beer sponsor of the Minnesota Twins, the presenting sponsor of the Chin Music Show here at TalkNorth.com. Check out Corona, check out Headflyer Brewing, and thanks to all of our other sponsors across the podcast network, including TSR Injury Law, who's involved in so many different shows. And thank you for listening. If I didn't already mention it, best way to listen to our network or any individual show, subscribe to your favorite podcast app. It's free. And it's easy. Of course, you can always go to TalkNorth.com where you can find not only our full lineup of shows, the latest shows, but you can also go in. If you find a show and you like the storytelling, you can go to the archive and find all kinds of stuff there. Once again, thank you for listening. We do appreciate it. So Alek Manoah, you were a player for a long time. Alek Manoah, great pitcher for the Blue Jays, came out on a podcast recently and basically said that Gerrit Cole is the worst cheater in baseball, accused him of using spider tack and other substances to elevate his spin rate. Are you, even if it's true, and my guess it's probably true, are you surprised to see players calling each other out?
Well, I guess if your name's not Josh Donaldson, I guess I'm surprised. But wasn't it Gerrit Cole? Didn't Josh Donaldson, who did he call it? Wasn't it Gerrit Cole that he called out?
I think it was, yeah.
Before he and then got traded.
Another teammates.
Before, and then he got traded to the Yankees. Yes. So I think we should just go ask Josh, what he thinks about Gerrit Cole now and whether standing over there seeing him load up on the mound from his closest third base, whether he's got a problem with it. I think it's really interesting, isn't it, that another pitcher would call out another pitcher. You don't see players calling out players much other than, low-class kinds of behavior on the field, that kind of thing, dirty play or, dogging it or whatever. But you don't hear this kind of call out hardly at all, and so – interesting opening salvo from somebody. See if that develops into any more widespread usage. I don't know.
One thing I have heard from a lot of people in the Twins organization was that, they were really excited when they were able to sign Josh, to go out and get Josh Donaldson. That was kind of even though it didn't work out, it was kind of a statement of ambition. They were trying to win right then. And I thought it was a cool move. I just can't tell you how many people in the organization have told me that Josh was just a pain in the butt to have around. And you don't even have to comment on that if you don't want to. That's what I've heard. That's my observation on the situation.
Well, I'll just comment by saying I don't know, but I've heard similar things. And saw a lot of eye rolls. So.
Yeah,
we're probably not too far off there.
No, I think that's probably true. Have you gotten a look at the new uniforms?
I have.
What do you think?
I'm a dangerous person to ask, being the old school curmudgeon that I am. I like the old uniforms. I liked the off white, kind of yellowish off white.
I liked that a lot.
That they wore for a while. Yeah. I really liked the pinstripes, and they brought back pinstripes in the gray. I noticed very light pinstripes, at least from the pictures that I saw. But I think that's a nice look. The new logos are interesting. I think to me, and I'm going to reserve. I'm not just gonna puke out. I'm not gonna say I like them because I have to recognize that that I'm old school and I like old fashioned uniforms that are just brought up to date a little bit, which I think that we did in 1987 with the pinstripe uniforms, and they've done a nice job ever since. So I would just say that given that I'm an old school guy, I like the bright white. I think that looks really good. I like the pinstripes. I've never liked two-tone uniforms, white pants and blue shirts. I've just never, ever liked that that look. So I'm not getting over that. I'm going to wait and see. I'm going to wait and see how the Twins logo and the Twin Cities script across the one plays out. I think that's an interesting idea. I get it. Where the, you know, a lot of people for the longest time, and maybe still don't, you know, from outside of here, don't know what Twins stands for, the Minnesota Twins stands for. So Twin Cities kind of closes the deal. I mean, kind of lets everybody know, and it makes a statement about how they feel about the community and all of that. So I'm not going to I'm not going to have anything negative say about that. I think it's kind of a nice look. It goes away from the, you know, history and jumps into Twin Cities, and maybe that'll be good. I'm gonna wait and see. But so I would say for me, okay so far. I'm not knocked out, but I think the difference between being okay and knocked out for me will just be time. I just have to kind of make sure that I get my old curmudgeonly head around all this stuff.
I had definite opinions as soon as I saw them. I love the home, clean looking home whites. Yep. I love the Twin Cities idea and the way it's scripted. I think it's a beautiful uniform, and I like the idea behind it. Like you, I do not like two-tone uniforms. It looks like softball or batting practice stuff. So, and I don't really like the dark blue. I think I'd rather see the Twins shading toward baby blue rather than the dark blue, which looks really generic to me. I like the TC caps. I hate the Miami Marlins M that they've decided to put on the Twins hat. I don't understand why they're doing that. They had an M.
Yeah, that was one of the logos I was talking about. I don't like
that. I think the red M that you guys wore when you won the World Series, I could go with that. I could go with a new M, but I don't know why the Minnesota Twins, with their long tradition, would want to do anything that seems to be imitating an expansion franchise. It just doesn't make sense to me. And we are now joined by Lavelle Neal. Lavelle, we are just in the middle of the uniform conversation. You and I talked about this at the football game the other day. Basically, Roy, he's withholding judgment on a couple of things. I don't like the Miami Marlins M on the hat. I don't like the two-tone uniforms. I do like the Twin Cities uniform and the home whites. What do you like and what do you not like about the new uniforms?
The one thing that jumped out at me, and I was at the unveiling, I saw fans reacted to the uniforms, was that I have been worried in recent years that the Twins were moving color scheme-wise toward the Cleveland Indians. And it was at the point where, like, the warm-up tops, the color coordination was similar to Cleveland. So I'm glad that this is a step away. But the dark blue uniform tops are now a move toward the Miami Marlins. So it's like we're leaving an AL Central team to go to expansion team. That's one of the worst in baseball. I love the Twin Cities uniforms. I think they're classy. I just like seeing the word Twin Cities on top of a uniform. And I like the home whites too. With the red numbering, the hat. You know, I'm not a fan of the hat just because that M looks like the Marlins. I think it takes, you have to squint a little bit and kind of focus on the little red dot on it to understand that's the North Star. I wonder if they could have gotten away with a cap that just had the North Star on it, you know, for a logo instead of having that goofy looking M. But overall, I liked it. My major gripe is this. I had a friend. She was at the unveiling. She really liked the Twin Cities top. She went online to see how much it would cost and discovered that they were selling it for $369. What are we doing to fans with these outrageous prices for these uniforms? They're already paying $15 for a beer, $12 for a hot dog, and now you want them to fork over $350 for a uniform top? That's ludicrous to me. So that's my main gripe.
Well, Lavelle, if they sell enough $350 jerseys, then they can afford Correa. So tell me about what you think the chances of them getting either Correa or Bogarts are at this point.
Yeah, I here's the thing. If they're going to play this game, they got to play it under Scott Boras's terms. And Boras plays this thing out until February or March. And can the Twins afford to wait that long with other things they want to achieve during the offseason to see if they get one or the other? And yes, they were going after Correa, and I was told that Bogarts would be the backup plan if they can't get Correa. And that they're trying to fashion a deal that they're offering him like different deals to see what he would like. There's like 10 years at a certain AAV, I think 8 years at another certain AAV, and then 6 year deal, which of course that would have the highest AAV, which would be over $30 million a year. So they're trying to offer him some deals that would be something that he would be interested in. But they're going to go ahead and shop and do the visits. And Scott Boras has already requested a private meeting with Jim Polad, because he always likes to smooth the owners. The Twins told Boras, Jim loves Carlos. He wants him back. He doesn't have to have a private meeting with you. And so I don't know if that's going to help or the Twins' chances here. My thing is this, even if they brought back Correa or able to sign Bogarts, I still like to see another right-handed hitter in that lineup. So if they don't land either one of these guys, we have to trot off this farmer kid as a starting shortstop. That lineup's going to look a lot different next year. And plus, there's really nothing to be excited about with this roster either. So if they have to add another $20, $30 million to the package to get Correa done, I say go for it. And by the way, Bogarts is also represented by Boras, so he has like the two top shortstops on the market. So this slow play is going to be in play throughout the offseason.
I guess I'm just encouraged that it you know, I mean, I wrote it at midseason after talking to some Twins people that they really thought they had a chance at Correa. I guess I'm encouraged that they're taking the big swing. Do you see any what do you think the downside risk is, Roy, if any, of going after big money players like this?
Well, the biggest downside risk, there's always a downside risk, is that somebody gets hurt. You know, the first one you look at is, do we think that this guy can live up to what he has earned himself so far? I mean, we've talked about this before, where you don't get, you get paid on what you've done, and you hope that, you know, the club hopes that, and the player hopes that he continues to do that for a long time. Right. So that's the first risk, is you sign somebody for a lot of money and he's not who you thought he was. That is not a risk for either of these two guys, I think. So I would put that aside. The next one, risk is injury. These guys have been pretty good throughout their careers so far in terms of injury. They have not been injury prone at all. And at shortstop, just because of the nature of the position and the demands of the position, people kind of get self-selected. I mean, the position weeds people out. And I think that shortstops tend to be healthier guys just because of their athleticism and the things that they can do already that aren't outside, the balance of what their bodies are going to do. So I think that that's less of a risk with these particular guys at that position, but it's still it's a risk anytime you sign somebody a long-term deal. I'm blanking on his name, third baseman went from Washington to the Angels, hadn't played in 2 years.
Rendon, yes.
There's a great example of that. So that's a big risk. And I think finally the risk is, how do you advertise? And it's interesting what you're saying, Lavelle, about the 6 year deal, 8 year deal, 10 year deal. It's interesting how you would amortize that cost over time, because you're willing to pay top dollar early on. I mean, what's Correa, 28 years old? So you figure you'll pay a lot of money for at least 4 years. And if he wants a 6 year deal at a fairly healthy amount, they say, okay, so let's say we're going to pay him for 6 years, but the last two You know, I mean, we're gonna front load the first 4 years in our minds. Right? We're just gonna amortize a 6 year deal over 4 years, right? And whatever we get in year five or six is a bonus. And is that worth it? Do we want to do that? And it changes even more. Obviously, if you go to 8 years or 10 years. So I think the risk is less about not being the player. There's no not about them not being the player that they think that they're signing. There's some degree of injury risk that goes along with everybody. But I think the biggest risk is how long are they going to be who we think they are? And how much are we going to pay for that after they're no longer the same guy? How much and how long?
Yeah, it's easy for me to say, but I would always lean toward higher money for a shorter term than longer, even if it lowers the AAV. I just, Correa is durable. He takes great care of himself. He's in incredible shape. He's smart. He's athletic. He's probably going to stay healthy. But, you just don't know what he's going to be at the age 35. There's no way anybody could know. So I would rather pay more up front. It's the Pollard's money. I will also say this, that, when our year-end discussion with Dave St. Peter, he basically said that, hey, the Twins are paying, a much, much more. Let me make sure I phrase it correctly. Lavelle, help me if I need it. Most Major League Baseball teams spend a certain percentage of their revenues on player payroll. And St. Peter indicates that the Twins are way higher on that scale than most teams in terms of the percentage of their revenues they spend on players. I've heard that they have actually lost money on an operating basis, and they still seem to be willing to go out and spend money on top players. I feel encouraged by that, especially when you add in the fact that the Pollads don't go back to the city to ask for more money to do stadium upgrades. They've kept Target Field in pristine condition with all kinds of updates without going back to the public for more money. I've never been close to the Pollads. I don't have any relationships there. Carl hated me, but I do appreciate the way they've run the team.
Yeah, I agree. I heard that the last 3 years from a bottom line standpoint have been pretty rough on the organization, but you can always argue that, if they lost $100 million, what's $100 million to a billionaire? And plus the Pollard family have so many different holdings. They can absorb losses. I mean, that's why they were able to not lay anybody off during the pandemic or fire anybody or freeze pension plans, which the Pittsburgh Pirates did to their employees. So, but still, I think Jim is a little more willing than Carl to spend money to be competitive. And I think he wants to win. He just wants to do it the right way. Maybe he's not as free spending as some fans would like to see him be. But he's taken chances before. It would help if he's able to land one of these big ticket guys one of these years, because he's offered Yu Darvish money. He's offered Zach Wheeler money. And I think fans are tired of hearing about how the Twins, have fallen short here. They want to, they want something more tangible than that. And so maybe, maybe if they're able to retain Correa, that would go a ways toward proving, how sincere they are about having a good roster.
I also think this.
Go ahead,
Roy.
A couple of things occur to me. One, to answer your question, Lavelle, literally, $100 million is 10% of the net worth of to a billionaire. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. It's not you don't want to go through a lot of streaks where you lose $100 million. And then I will say that on the flip side of that is that you put a better and better and better product on the field and you start winning consistently and you get to deep in the playoffs or you get to a World Series, and you're going to make up an awful lot of that revenue that they say they're not getting. And I believe St. Pete when he said as a percentage of what their revenue is, they spend more on payroll than most. I believe that I get it. And if you put a better product on the field, you're gonna make up some of that revenue. And you're gonna make up a little bit of revenue because you can charge higher rates to whoever's gonna broadcast your games on the radio and television, but not enough. Not like not like the big market teams where, you know, the Yankees don't have to, they don't even have to open their gates. They can make payroll with local TV and radio. Then they get all that other revenue from opening the gates, either, you know, ticket sales and concessions and all that stuff. And then they get national money. So national money. So, I mean, I think I would like to see the Twins continue to be on a percentage basis, you know, higher relative to revenue, because I think they'll start making some gains in revenue if they will. But we just have to remember that it's never going to be a lot in that local TV and radio deal.
And the thing with the Twins too is that they still bring in more revenue from ticket sales than they do with their TV package. That tells you what type of TV package
they're. Well, there you go. I mean, that's insane in this day and age, and with the way ball clubs are structured. That's insanity.
If Roy would just take a pay cut from Bally Sports, then that would clear. I mean, yeah, you know one shortstop showing solidarity by taking a pay cut. I mean, I think Roy takes a pay cut, and you can get Correa and Bogarts.
Let me tell you something. Carlos Correa bought the meals that he bought for young players this year cost more than what I make at Fox.
and you know what? I know that's a fact. I know you're not being hyperbolic or modest. That is actually true. No doubt about it. Oh man. You know what? Go ahead, Roy.
No, I'm just going to say, I would not make a claim like that, a statement like that lightly. I don't know that it's true, but I've got a pretty good feeling it's true.
Yeah. I believe you. All right. We're going to save some topics down the road. We'll wrap it up here today. Let's do a final thought from everybody. It can be on Thanksgiving, the Twins, or music. Sometimes we do music stuff. Once again, thanks to Corona, the official import beer sponsor of the Minnesota Twins and the presenting sponsor of the Chin Music Show here at TalkNorth.com. Thanks again to Brandon Morton, our producer. Thank you for listening. Please subscribe. It's the easiest way to listen, and we do appreciate it. So I'll start. My wife's a massive Hamilton fan. So she found out that Lin-Manuel Miranda, or as we know him, Jose Miranda's uncle, was going to have his freestyle Love Supreme show playing in Vegas. And we had friends in Vegas. We decided to just take a quick fun trip to Vegas. Went to see it. It's one of the best things I've ever seen in any genre. It's astonishing how talented and quick-witted and funny these people are. Two world-class singers in the troupe, two great musicians backing them up. We got to see him on a night when Lin was actually there. Incredible. So I don't know if it's ever going to be any place you can see it, but if you ever get a chance to go see Freestyle Love Supreme, it's the funniest, one of the best nights of entertainment I've ever experienced. So Roy, anything you like to bring up? Music, Thanksgiving, Twins, baseball, whatever.
You know, I'm just going to wish everybody a really, really happy Thanksgiving. We've had, you know, we talked about how little baseball we had for a couple of years. Thanks, you know, through the pandemic, Thanksgiving is one of the best holidays that there is, all things considered. The purpose of it, just the ability to give thanks for the blessings that we have and to share it with family and eat some really good food. And it's a low pressure, high value holiday that had gotten the short end of the deal the last few years. And just want to wish everybody a wonderfully, wonderfully happy Thanksgiving with your family as you, as we think about our blessings and we think about our families and we're able to spend time with them.
Likewise, while we were taping this, my sister just walked in through the door. She just drove in from Chicago.
Beautiful.
And she's here for the holiday, and she is going to cook the turkey. And we're going to have a nice meal and spend time together. I will also say that the Joe Bonamassa concert was excellent at the Orpheum.
Good.
He cracked everybody up at the beginning because he said this was last time I was here was Friday the 13th in March in 2020. And he proceeded to rip Mayor Fry for how he handled the pandemic, which got him a standing ovation in the arena. So, and then he sat down and proceeded to jam for exactly 2 hours, including the encore. He was on and off for 2 hours. It was a great night. And a guy recognized me lying at the bar and bought me a drink, too. So I didn't even have to buy a drink. So I had a good time at the Joe Bonamassa concert.
Roy, I am shocked that that Lavelle's story included a Lavelle reference.
or a Lavelle beverage reference.
Yeah, so two shocking developments here on the Chin Music Show. We'll have to memorialize them in some way because it just never happens. Hey, great stuff, guys. Good talking to you. Enjoy your Thanksgivings. We'll get back together next week, and it's going to be an interesting winter. That's just the way it is. This front office, whatever they've been accused of, they are aggressive. They're going to make something happen this winter, and we're going to be here to talk about it. It's going to be fun. So thanks to Brandon, thanks to Lavelle, thanks to Roy, and thank you for listening to TalkNorth.com.